So we're on page 713, Kuf Lamed Aleph. It's part of the Hakadama on Parash B'Chukosai. Being that, like we've mentioned all the time, B'Chukosai deals with Tzchar and Onesh in a very, very vivid way. So we've seen the last two things we saw were Rishonim that explain why Olam Haba is not mentioned first in the Pasuk. We saw Ramban about Bechaya, and we saw Rambam about Olam Haba and what the Brachos and Kolos are. Here, I think it's the only place in the Sefer that we have an Achron, the Kli Yoker, but what's important about him is he sums up extremely well all of the major shittas as to why Olam Haba is not mentioned in the Torah. There's a problem, and if you take a look in any work that's secular, it's a given that the early Hebrews did not believe in an afterlife, and this is something that's just automatic, and it's the question is only when they invented it. But the reason is, I mentioned it in any place, and so nothing about it. So he will bring here a whole bunch of shittas as to why the Torah doesn't mention it. So Rashi says, "Atayil machem gan Eden." That v'salachti v'sochem means I will go to Gan Eden. So Kliyok says, "Daitol esalik matar sein aktoisha kol toein u'ma'are ha'oma yeshli makom lolon v'loma me'achas niske b'tor ikas chalun neshama im kein vade en koap u'mitzis eilu lankol esem aschar nafshalom haba." He says, people will say, it doesn't say anywhere in the Torah anything about mitzvahs having to do anything with the neshama. So we can extrapolate, there's no Olam Haba. V'tachas asiyosam eno ki'im lekav l'schar b'olam hazeh. Ha'ochus b'chav le'ibuz. The end of the day, the tachas of mitzvahs is just for this world, like the Pashup Shabbat HaKosai. So Rashi, when he says this, alaf b'sochem means, that's another dimension. However, whatever it is, it's a different type of schar than anything else that we said before. And that's meramis to some sort of Olam Haba deka schar. So he says, "The Gemara says, 'Oyra seich v'shleim v'rabim v'ah behetz sofik zesh shivodeis zochram marya v'chibur averchem that Barbanel was mayrich in it.' V'ani bosel katzah kol eichol sadim po kriyos lahastim pidov asar zekdesha." So he says, Barbanel goes to great lengths. Kedarko, he explores each and every one of them. I'm just summing up the shittas, and that's why we'll go through Kli Yoker, because these are very, very important shittas, and he does sum them up. Okay, the first one is the Rambam. Hadeya ha'achas, hudas Rambam, shekol eila yu'udim einan ikas char, that all of what's written in B'chukosai, in terms of physical, you know, the plants will grow and we'll have what to eat, and the enemies will be conquered and so on, those are not the Ika. They're not, it's not the parasha of Schar and Onesh, it's the parasha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu making it easier for us to do right. Ratzaloma, Shem Tishma Mitzvoysai Osim Imcha Kol Moinim Kimolchamas V'chaloyim V'roa V'yogim Bo'ifshach Lavas Hashem Lo Shemoneah. What he's trying to say, all it says is, if you do the right things, I will remove obstacles for further growth. Avol ikar schar shel olam haba in this account, but the main schar olam haba is not mentioned here. Why? Kidei sheyavar ezboro lishmo. Lo machas aschar ahu omiyiras onesh ein sefer mada. So the Rambam's point is, if the Torah were to set up the schar in olam haba as written in the Torah, if you do the mitzvahs, you're going to have all the wonderful Gan Eden olam haba. It would mean that would become the reason for doing it. It's just like if I tell you, it's the difference between if I tell you, listen, Yoni, I'm hiring you to paint my house, I'll give you $1,000. So that's setting up a employee relationship, and you're doing it for the $1,000. If I tell Yoni, you do me a favor and paint my house, and you do it, and then I surprise you with $1,000, even if you anticipate I would surprise you, but since the relationship wasn't set up as such, then you're not doing a job, but you're actually you're doing something for its own sake because you'd like to paint my house, and the schar comes aga. If in the Torah we would have set up a clear contract, so to speak, of tit for tat, then it's not, then it's always going to be being oivid for schar. It's only since the Torah doesn't say it, and there's no written contract to that effect, even if I know of it, it doesn't spoil it. That's the first sheet, that's Rambam Shita. And the schar that it does say is certainly not the reason to do mitzvahs, but rather HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, mitzvahs, the more you do, the easier it will become, the quicker it will go, and so on and so forth. Next, Yavim ben Ezra. Adei ha-shni odatza ben Ezra bepashas hazinu, v'zeh l'shono. Ulefi daiti sh'atorah nitna l'koil, v'le lech l'vali. Torah was given to the general populace, to everyone. V'divra olam hava lo yevino echod mine elef ki omaku, abtan l'shonei. So, Olam Haba is an abstract entity. It's something that we can't paint it graphically. And there are very, very, very few people that can understand something that's not physical or graphic. So the Torah couldn't write it. It's very hard to write it because a physical person can't understand something ruchni. Now, I don't know. There's one point that's a little bit not clear. So, what's the problem exactly? So, you could learn an easy way to understand it is, any time you corrupt something, you distort something, that's something wrong with it. So just like if we distort the picture of God and the picture of it being physical, it's wrong. So too, if we distort the picture of Olam Haba, then it's something's wrong. So if a person imagines Olam Haba is like a big spa with, like, you know, swimming pools and seaside, obviously they're separate hours swimming, they're separate beaches, but, you know, and 24/7 glatt kosher food and so on, nam gebracht, of course. There's something wrong about it because the person is distorting something. That's one. I think there's another knage here, and maybe a little bit of a more subtle knage. The Torah is emes, and Torah is speaking in the language of Bnei Adam. In other words, for Torah to be emes, it has to communicate the truth of what it's saying. So let's give an example. If somebody gives me a contract to sign, and it's written in a way where I, the unsuspecting layman, doesn't realize all the hidden pitfalls, and he, the shrewd lawyer, realizes it, there's a certain sheker element in it, because the words you're saying mean what you mean them to say, but not what I mean to say. To give a Torah to people where the language expresses an idea that's not right, would be wrong. And that's why the Torah couldn't have could not have written about it, because writing it with words of our world, it inherently projects something false. That's Ibn Ezra. Adei HaShlishis, Hodas Avinu Bechaya HaZokin, it's Avinu Bechaya of Chovos Alvavos, Zocher Ibn Ezra Parsai, Zinot HaDvarav, the Gamramban not the Litvarov, and Ramban also says it. For who? She kola yudim ter malman ateva. She ein zedov ativi she elekshon bizman she isa mitzvahs vi kola yageshem na oretz she ein isa tzad shem makam arachu. That's Ramban we saw last time, that, you know, any linkage of physical activities to mitzvahs is unnatural. There's no reason why if you shake harder by Shemayin Esra, there'll be more rain. This is a fascinating approach. It's almost the opposite of what we intuit. We say, okay, the Dova Teva, something in the world of Teva is that the crops grow and so on, and Olam Haba, and the world of Neshamas, that's something very weird and not Tevistic. if you think about it, the world of Ruchnius as such, it's not a kasha. If I told you, yes, there is a dimension that you're not aware of, that at now, that when you say Omen Yeshmei Rava, like it blossoms, and you'll be aware of that world, and when your Ruchnius is part, will be in that world, that'll be the emes. So that's not extraordinary to me. I'm a little curious of the fact that I am not aware of that Ruchnius world. But if you told me there is a Ruchnius world that has its own rules and regulations and its own laws, and everything is Ruchnius, and therefore Ruchnius activities are productive activities, that's consistent. And I don't see that as being unnatural. Masha'inkin, if I tell you the physical world with its, without breaking any real laws of nature, it'll still reward you for mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim. That's unusual. It's a very famous Ramad. It says mafli lasos is that the mind and the brain connect, that the neshama and the guf connect. Like, how do you weld those two together? How is it? I think Mark Twain once remarked very dryly, you know, it's coming from a bit of a agnostic type of feelings, but he said, how come that when my stomach drinks whiskey, my soul becomes drunk? In other words, why is it whatever you do to the guf affects the neshama? And that's the pal of the Bria. So the Torah's chiddush is telling you this. And we do find a punishment of Karis, which means the Torah says there's a deeper place where neshama comes from. So the Torah says you get karis for certain things. Means that there are other things you don't get karis for. Means that you remain attached to something. What are those things you remain attached to? That's the world of neshamas. So in a certain sense, the Torah implies all over there such a thing. What the Torah wants to make a big deal about is these things. Okay, four, the Kuzari. Hader v'yasi, if you should be yomim ha'heim ha'yu kol ha'ilo makhish ha'shkos Hashem Yisparach. He said, in the days of the Torah, people denied Hashkocha. V'yatoinim sh'gal nasu ba'ilom ha'kol b'chreach lo b'ratzen. They had a very, very deterministic view of the world, and things happened for natural reasons. Rotza kadosh baruch hu la'ameis p'nes Hashkocha d'yum ha'ilu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to confirm the truth of this Torah. Torah wants to say, take a look, open your eyes. Don't you see that Kal Yisrael, because they're doing Ratzon Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is being good to them and they're enjoying a better life. It's very, very easy to promise Olam Haba to people. You can promise them anything you want. The Muslims promise who knows what, and you know, and anyone's guess about they're picking up the tab. So if the purpose of this is, it's not to tell us that there's schar, but to give us markers of emuna and to say, look, at the end of the day, the good gets rewarded and the bad doesn't, and the bed gets punished. The ikar das hazeh hu das ben nisim pashas brachos b'shoshah b'seif hakuzari. Kesha ama hakuzari lachav, the kuzari told the chav, royani sheyudas ulaschem shmeinim sheyas erechem. What the other guys promised me, what the Muslim Christian promised me, is a lot nicer than what you're promising me. Heshiva chavas, so the chav answered, yeah. They're all post-dated checks. There's nothing, they're not promising anything while you're alive. There's nothing you can see or feel. They're telling you about the wonderful, wonderful things happening, the pearly gates and so on. It's nice, but it's not difficult to promise things that are not here. Omar Kuzari, v'lo re'i se'echen me'amaminim bi'yudimahim is'am le'kosim me'hira. So Kuzari adds a little bit of a cynical note. He says, you know, for all these people that preach about the wonderful, wonderful, wonderful heavens in Gan Eden, none of them want to get there very quickly. I remember when in Afghanistan, in the early stages of war, one of the Taliban people said that they wish to become shahidim and be martyrs and give up their lives for Islam, to which the American commander force says, we will do everything to help their wish come true. So he says, you know, if they really think that the reward is only in Olam Haba, why are they sticking around here? 5. Hadeach HaMishisi Shrekredim Kabbalah Torah Eben Kecho Mazolus Oyeusem Avoidus Miuchadus Kelaham Shechmen Abrocha B'Tvuos Lakshon B'Itan Shalzaguf. People were Osek in Avodah Zarah not for Gan Eden's sake, but they wanted. Avodah Zarah started, people had these extraordinary fluctuations in terms of success with crops, with animals, and everything else. And they did Avodah Zarah to be able, I mean, all Avodah Zarah was to bless their crops and their wives and so on. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him Torah and said, get away from it, in other words, the Torah wanted to tell them, since the crux of Avodah Zarah was for the financial gains, so Torah needed to say that. Let's give a mashal, a simple mashal. Let's say somebody keeps his store open on Shabbos because he feels he's not going to have parnasa if he's not open on Shabbos. So promising Olam Haba is not a great effective way. Much better would be if I tell the person and show the person that the people who keep Shabbos don't lose out. Very, very important to bear in mind that in it. So Klal Yisrael was coming from a society that really, I mean, the world at the time in general was very dependent on the whims of nature, so to speak. And that's why there was an incessant need to appease all sorts of gods and to get them to be nice and everything. And the Torah is not coming to tell you Schar and Onesh, but the Torah is trying to tell you, in the area that you think of where the Zara is absolutely necessary, it's the opposite. Olam Haba, the Avodah Zarah never promised Olam Haba. Olam Haba was not an Avodah Zarah thing. Avodah Zarah just promised, you know, this world. 6. Hadeh Ashishis Hi, Sheme'ach Hashem V'salachti B'Sochem, Nesat Neshkanem B'Sochem, Shezehu Dibuk Hashchina Yisrael, Afilu B'Olam Hazeh, Shaneshama Nistabcho Imachoyme, In other words, v'salachti v'soichem means we touch base with the Shechina in this world. So of course, when we're in a makom past this world, you know, the beginning of Olam Haba is the kesher with the Shechina. So the beginning of it, if the beginning of it starts in this world, of course it continues. So the Ran says, all of the rewards that the other religions promise people afterwards will come now. We can actually have a keshu with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like Nevuah. We can be mechubat HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chaviyach, Dovah HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'zu adeya timotze ganke mitshuva sachal moch kuzar, v'zayk mam alof v'sifrei. V'ech zu b'deya Rabbi Nissim b'drosh ha-choyesh. The Torah itself is telling you, within the context of all these brachas, the core one is V'nasati mishkani v'soichem v'salachti v'soichem, like we saw before, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that there's a dibuk ten shchin in this world. If there's a dibuk ten shchin in this world, then that includes certainly the world to come. Finally, the last one he brings is the ikrim. Dea shvius hi shekol hayudim and iskarim b'teirim leklolus uma ki ha'olam nidna harubo v'yiru raksham v'tvu v'asham etzibem yechol yisol keechot. So he says a fascinating thing, the ikrim. There are two, every person, Klal Yisrael functions on two levels. There is the individual, there is the Klal as a Klal. And many things happen at the Klal. For instance, if enough people do Averis, everyone gets punished, even though there were many people that were innocent. This is the obvious understanding of things happened in the Holocaust. You can't pick any one person and say he was a big tzaddik. Klal Yisrael bears responsibility for everyone. It's mitzad the fact that Klal Yisrael is a one organism. So if the stomach eats something that's not good, the hands and feet might become paralyzed or have seizures because the stomach and hands and feet are linked. So Klal Yisrael in this world is a klal, and therefore the Torah is expressing the different reactions of the world to the klal and so on. In the world to come, aval schara nafshi l'olam haba eino l'chol asumas. It's not for everyone together. El kol ish b'fnei atzmo yidin shalom fi ma'isof. It's individual. Every single person is his own world, his own person, stands as his own schara v'inish. V'nir mezu b'mitzas kibud avei v'shalom hakam l'chol ish m'yisrael. I guess that's what it says. We have a remez for it, but the Torah is not dealing with that. Because you have two different parashas over there on Krishna for the Yochin for the Tzibur. I want to stop a second and say something in general. The question of why the Torah doesn't mention Olam Haba comes with two layers. One is, if we were writing the Torah, what would we write? Well, if we were putting together a little religion, so we'd want that the core literature should be very appealing to the masses. I should bring out my biggest canons, like what it is that I'm promising in a big way, and so on. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu was writing the Torah as a sort of a way to get people to come to Judaism, so he should have called in his PR team and gotten a Bible. It would have been really snazzy, kind of, you know, pearly gate, this, that, the other thing, and so on. That's not. Torah is emes. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is describing the Ruchnius as it is. And all of these answers are answers for the person who wants to understand why the Torah doesn't include it. For the person who just throws it at you and says, not a mention of it, and that's it, I don't believe, these answers are not convincing answers. They're answers that knowing and understanding, just like Moshe Madava Deimer, if somebody writes me a letter or a lawyer writes a brief, if I know the person writing it and I know that it's brilliant and thought out and so on, then things that are missing, I try to understand why is it thought out? Why is it missing? What was the point in avoiding it, so on and so forth? That's the idea of it. But if I don't have any knowledge or whatever it is, I take it at face value. If a person has come from the outside and the Torah, he will not do anything more than Israel, so fine. That's what it's going to appear to him. These answers are not going to appeal. A person who says, this is Tarek HaShbaruch gave, but why doesn't he write about Olam Haba? Then these answers are very, very strong answers. They go to the heart of understanding what Torah is, what Olam Haba is, what the Torah is writing, what is it there for. And then he finishes. In these seven ways, the people are going to, the people who attack Torah are going to run off. He says, let's take a look at the Torah itself. I mean, he gives here a logical reason. The Torah says, I love Avraham Avinu, I hate Nimrod. So, Avraham Avinu is a matzliach. But he says, and if the story as it's written is the end result, and that's it, with that, life's over for everyone. So let's ask ourselves, What did Nimrod have over Avram? What did Avram have over Nimrod? Kizem Moloch Bekipa. Nimrod was a big king. Avram journeyed all the time. He never had a permanent place or nothing. What schad did they have? And the fact that the kids have it good, they're dead. They don't know what's happening. And if you told me the schar that the kids have, ma kishon lebaylov kachal moisin uchol darim saratz v'nitzar oylov rigol amolov, is that a schar to a person? You know, you will die penniless, wandering, troubled, but you know, someday your great-great-grandson will have it good. I certainly wish my great-great-grandson all the best, but I wouldn't see it as particularly nice of Hashem Baruch Hu to give me nothing and give me everything. V'afil Yisrael noich la'aretz. My Yisrael and Lahem are filled with man, a shalval, komalka, earth, shatzol, mok, wealth, moiz, and tosay, is mehima. And Kalashva at its best, were they so incredibly better and different than Umas Olam? But there were many that had it really good and were really wealthy. Ein ze ki im sherav tov atzof and tzadikim, u chalkim and achlosim shal ha'ovis, v'shal kol tov desem, p'yitzibem, kitere achas l'kulam. So, it must be that it cannot be that within the context of this world it's meaningful. I also want to add something. Even if the tzaddik had it good, but the tzaddik is long dead. You know, the Torah makes such a big splash. I'll reward him this and that. Let's even assume that some of the good parts of Avraham had wealth and he had this, but that's it. It's over rather quickly, and nothing left of it. Like in Kohelet, it says, you know, in Mikra Echad La Tzadik La Rasha, that's it. They're both in the ground. They're both dead. Nothing is makes no difference. Eov, if you read, has a very powerful monologue beginning that he wishes to be dead. He said, death is the great equalizer. He said, the slave and the master that beat him lie together in the ground, and nothing's left of it. So Baal Korchach, from within the context of the Torah, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu expresses the extraordinary love for the others, and we don't see that the reward is in any way, some of them didn't have any reward, and some had a reward, wasn't spectacularly different than anybody else, and we are marrying and it long over, Baal Korchach, there's another dimension that's eternal, that is worlds apart from anybody else, and that's the real Chavainish. Okay, we'll hold it here.